The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
No Jen Latta this week. Well-earned vacation, although I'm going to ask a question of Chewy in just a little bit of what Jen is doing actually constitutes as a vacation for herself. But first, big guy, yesterday I was at Buffalo Wild Wings. For those who don't know, Buffalo Wild Wings, official viewing party location for all Marquette games during the NCAA tournament. So I've been out and about at a bunch of different Buffalo Wild Wings over the course of the last, really throughout the regular season, and now with the tournaments going on, Big East into the NCAA tournament, I've been out and about. And I mean, people clearly crazy about Marquette right now, heading to the Sweet 16, thrilling victory yesterday over Colorado. So yesterday I was at the Buffalo Wild Wings in West Dallas. And, you know, people are filing in, then people start talking to me like, oh, man, I can't believe Chewy, like, almost had to change his plans. What's going on? I can't believe this. So I wanted to follow up to see how your Friday went, because for those who don't know, like, the NCAA tournament's been a tradition for you and your wife. Up here in Wisconsin, you guys would go to Champs and spend a bunch, you know, bunch of hours on that Friday watching some college hoops. So you were looking for a new place, almost got hijacked by all of your wife's friends where they wanted to go to a non-sports bar that was on the water down there in Florida. I'm guessing you overcame it all. You were able to go to your sports bar. But I told a handful of people yesterday at Buffalo Wild Wings that I was going to follow up with you to make sure you got to your sports bar on Friday to watch college hoops.
I did.
Okay. Oof.
I did. I got there. Marquette game was at 2. We probably got there at 1:30. Place was 85% full.
Okay. Good crowd.
Matt Geiger. You remember Matt Geiger?
Yeah.
He owned the place.
Was he there?
He wasn't. But great place. Food was outstanding. Vibe, absolutely horrible.
Oh, no.
Vibe was horrible?
What?
Even with horrible. 85% full?
The one thing I've learned now about Florida.
Old people?
Is they could give a rip about basketball.
Hmm.
They don't care.
Do Florida people?
If that was football, now people down here are insane for their football. You got Florida State. You got Florida. You got Miami. They are nuts about their football. But this place was stale. No juice. No one supporting their team with colors. It was very vanilla. So I probably wish I went to the seafood bar on the water.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And what I think it is, even though the weather here was crappy on Friday, we talked about it, there's just too much to do here this time of year.
And sure.
I can't believe how people aren't into basketball. Well, it's a football state.
And in fairness, though, I'm not even sure how much they care about football. I mean, I guess they care a little bit about their college football, but...
Yes, college football, they are... Like, the Florida fans down here are the equivalent to the Badgers.
Okay.
Maybe not quite.
Maybe a little more diehard.
I don't think I can answer that yet.
Okay. Because, I mean, we know they don't care about baseball. Nobody attends games at any stadium anywhere in Florida. They don't attend baseball games. So you were part of this mission for you was trying to establish a new tradition for you and your wife down in Florida of a place to go. So what you're telling me is, NCAA tournament 2025, you're probably looking for a new spot.
I think we do it at the house, Gabe.
Okay.
Where we create our own vibe. I don't think there is a place down here that would be a great place to go watch the games. And Florida was in it. It's not like they weren't in the tourney.
Yeah, they played later on Friday. Thrilling game against Colorado, and then Colorado went on to play a thrilling game against Marquette yesterday.
Yeah. No, very stale. So, live and learn.
Okay.
How was it up there? A lot of juice?
Oh, I mean, again, when I was out, again, I'm out at these Buffalo Wild Wings. So, with the early game yesterday, B-Dubs doesn't open till 11. It was an 11:10 tip. people started filing in at about 10:45. I don't know if they just accidentally left the door unlocked, if they just let people come in a little bit early, but people are filing into B-Dubs before 11 a.m. on a Sunday, you know, because Marquette is playing. And the place was rocking yesterday, man. Like, we had a lot of people there. These watch parties have been so well attended. Now I will look it up here and before the end of this first segment to let you know where we're going to be at on Friday. But, I mean, people are so into this, and people were so excited and happy after Marquette pulled off an unbelievable win because, I mean, they were up by, you know, double digits at halftime. Colorado comes back, ties it up with 4 minutes left. Chase Ross hits the big three. I mean, the place was going nuts. The vibes were high. Then everybody's, like, you know, tense, and everybody was excited because it's the first time in 11 years Marquette's going to the Sweet 16. So the vibes up here were great, big guy.
Do people even care Wisconsin lost? Is it already on to football season?
For Badger fans, possibly. I know a lot of them. I did a show with Alex Strofe here on Friday night, and he was nervous going into that game as a Badgers fan.
It's the record's skipping too much with the Badgers. It's boring to watch. I don't care about defense. It's like. I think I rather, and I love the guy.
Okay.
He was in Green Bay when I was there, but I think I'd rather have a root canal instead of watching Tony Bennett coach a basketball team. I mean, are you with me or not? It's painful to, it's like the NFL, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals for one game going, hey, let's run the wing T and see how that looks.
Sure.
Am I right or wrong?
You're not wrong. I mean, it's not an aesthetically pleasing style of basketball.
And it needs to change in today's day and age. Because like you said, we were talking in the pregame, Colorado plays no defense, but they're fun to watch offensively.
Yeah. Like, maddening, probably, if you're a fan of Colorado.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you bring up Tony Bennett. Let me ask you this, because I think I know your answer. Because you bring up Tony Bennett, the Wisconsin. I mean, Virginia has stunk in the tournament. They've stunk.
Except the 1 year.
So they since 2018, Chu, they have not won a tournament game outside of winning the national championship.
Yes.
So is that something, like, if you were a Virginia fan, or if the Badgers did that, if Marquette did that, if your favorite team went 6 years, and the only time they won an NCAA tournament game is when they won it all?
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
No, that's tough to be a fan. That's tough to be
a fan.
But
you won a championship.
Hold on, Gabe. Is that same kind of feel with the Badgers since they went to the and lost in the final game to Duke?
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Have they done anything since?
They made back-to-back Sweet 16s in 2016 and 17, I want to say.
Yeah.
They made back-to-back Sweet 16s, and since then, they have not made it to the second weekend.
That's 6 years ago. That style, it's just like, I don't know. It's like the NFL. I want to watch offense. Defense, yeah, you play a little bit. Little Jamaican tank.
Well, because
at the end of the day.
I feel like that's an interesting question when it comes to Tony Bennett and Virginia, because in college it's different. Like, there's so much turnover. Like, if Jordan Love and the Packers win a Super Bowl this year, like, Jordan Love's going to be here for the next 10-plus years, right? So it's like, okay, you won one, now you want more. It's just always tougher, I think, at the professional game versus the college game. And especially when you're talking about the NCAA tournament. Like, it's just,
yeah,
just wild and chaotic.
But if you're going to play that style of basketball,
yeah,
you're not going to get top recruits to go there, are you? It's almost Marquette, because I love the brand of basketball they play.
Sure.
Although they get a little nutso at times, which is fine. They get a little overstimulated.
Yeah, I mean, the college kids.
But if I'm an offensive player in the state,
yeah,
you know, and I want to average 20-something points a game, I'm probably picking Marquette over Wisconsin.
Yeah, and honestly, both programs have struggled to keep a lot of that top in-state talent in the state. A lot of those guys have left.
I mean, to guard weather the storm, because I thought they may fire him, but if they were going to fire him, then it would have been immediately.
Yeah, I feel like by the time, I mean...
Is he in Paul Chryst territory?
If we make it through today... I think there's an outside chance if they did it, maybe they'd wait till Monday. But I feel like he's probably safe.
Like, would he get fired because of his recruiting or for his style of basketball?
I would say he would get fired for his lack of success in the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
His recruiting hasn't been that poor. I mean, A.J. Storr came in. Johnny Davis was drafted as a lottery pick. Like, they've had talent there. It's just putting the postseason success. And I can't imagine Chris McIntosh was as ready to move on from Paul Christ, and he would be sitting on his thumb regarding the, like, I know he's a football guy, but I imagine he has the same expectations for both programs, and I can't imagine him just ignoring the basketball team. So to me, it means there's something there or some change, because the team this year is not the team of past, and the past couple of years haven't been what we all remember and drives a lot of us nuts, is the half-court game, slow it down, control possessions, that type of thing. Like, this Badgers team this year, while at times was unwatchable and very bad, they can score, and they did score. They kept up with a lot of teams. So I don't know where they stand and what the program's direction is at this point.
The other question I want to ask of you, Chu, and before we move on from college hoops, just want to note, so I got everything mixed up. I was at Oak Creek yesterday. We are going to be in West Dallas on Friday.
What, are you on tour?
Yeah.
How many B-dubs have you gone to?
I mean, I've been to everyone in the greater Milwaukee area, Chu. Okay. Greater Milwaukee area, I have been there over the last 2 months.
Okay. But, and the crowd there is fantastic.
Oh,
they're
man.
Sporting the colors.
Yes. I mean, they put out the blue and gold tablecloths, little pom-poms at each table, had these little Marquette basketballs we were handing out. Everybody was having a great time.
Okay.
So maybe you should fly up, come to B-Dubs in Stallus.
I was going to say, yeah.
If you're looking to have a good time on Friday. But I just want to ask you this, because I did note that, so Jen is going to be out this week. Jen is taking vacation with, you know, their family is I believe, going to Disney. And maybe I'm speaking out of turn since she isn't here, but, you know, oh well, here we go. Because, Chu, I mean, I can't answer this question. Only you can answer this for me, because I don't have kids. Your kids are grown and older, but
yeah.
When you take a family vacation to a place like Disney, is that really vacation for the adults? Because it seems like, again, I'm not judging, I'm not saying anything, I'm just seeing as the guy who only has a wife and dog at his house, like, that seems like a lot of work. Like, that vacation to me is what me and my wife did for our anniversary. Went up to Door County, did a little hiking at night, got some nice dinner, a little glass of wine. You know, it was very relaxing. Like, it was great to get away from everything. Going to Disney with children, well, again, Jen obviously loves her kids very much. Otherwise, you're not taking the trip. That does not seem very relaxing or a way to escape everything.
Well, I'll tell you what makes it not relaxing, and I've done this before, is go to Disney during spring break. There is nothing fun about that. It is like head on a swivel, stand in line for hours, and the kids all want to go to Magic Kingdom. And I believe, at least when I was there, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, they didn't serve alcohol in the Magic Kingdom, which really, I mean, when you're talking going to the Magic Kingdom at 8 in the morning, Gabe,
yeah,
and then leaving at 8 o'clock at night,
oof,
you're in bed before the kids.
That's a lot of time on your feet.
It was, oh. So is it a vacation? Probably not. It's a vacation when they go to bed, if they stay up and have a glass of wine, but that to me is work.
Yeah, it just seemed to me, again, like, good on, you know, Jen and Daria
for
taking the kids.
I thought you were going to say that she's going to the owners' meeting, which are going on right now.
Where are,
in Orlando. They're in Orlando.
Oh, the owners' meetings are in Orlando. I was about to say, I knew they were somewhere in Florida. I thought maybe we would send you as our Florida correspondent, go check out, see what's happening at the owners' meetings. Any rule changes, coaches saying stupid things.
So someone sent the picture of the, you know, the picture they take of the coaches every time there's an owners' meeting.
Yeah, Josh, you sent that over yesterday.
Is there a protocol? I mean, how does Harbaugh get in the center of it all?
Yep.
Next to Andy Reid, for his first, well, probably not his first, but he's been out of the pro game for a while. That's like he's a seventh cousin going to a wedding, and he's standing right next to the bride and groom in the picture.
Yeah, but I mean, he's sitting next to his brother, too. I think that has something to do with it.
Ah, that's totally wrong.
Are you saying like
there's got to be some some seniority here?
Are you saying there's like a hierarchy that needs to be dealt out here?
Yes.
I got to imagine that this picture is the same as any other picture that you take with a big group of guys. The guys don't want the picture taken. This is just a major inconvenience.
No,
they are they are going to sit in the first open seats. They are going to stand behind the first open space, behind the chairs. They are trying to get this over with as quickly as possible.
Not Jim Harbaugh. He went right for the middle seat. I am the new face of the NFL when it comes to coaches. I know my spot, Gabe, when I take a family photo or at a wedding or something. It is back row, farthest over to the left or right.
Why is that your assigned?
Because then I'm quickest one out of there. And then sometimes it doesn't even make it that long.
So that's self-assigned.
My wife and her family feel they need to take 743 pictures of an event.
Yeah. That's what every guy, I'm assuming that's what every coach wanted. Everyone coach wanted that to be done as quickly as possible. So they grab the fastest open seat. But based on seniority, where should have Harbaugh been? Should he have been in the back right? You said front middle, you didn't like it. Should he have been back left? I mean, there's only two rows. There are only so many places to go.
I understand.
Has he earned a seat? Does he have to stand?
He should be where McDaniels is, sitting, but all the way to the left or right.
Do you think there's any chance they did this based on, like, height? And they kind of measured up and gave him seats that way, or is it just chaos?
No, like Andy Reid should be in the...
It is pure chaos.
If Belichick, who's not there anymore, Belichick gets the first seat in the center. Now that's resigned for Andy Reid, right?
Okay.
Because that's the face.
Sure, that's the best coach out there.
You have Jim Harbaugh in the dead middle sitting.
I mean,
that's
in fairness,
so
Harbaugh is going to probably be talked about more than just about any other coach this season. You want to talk about, he's not necessarily the face or the best, but he's going to be talked about a bunch.
But shouldn't it be Super Bowl and out? So Andy Reid, John Harbaugh's probably placed okay.
Okay. What about Tomlin?
Tomlin should be in the middle.
McCarthy didn't make the picture. I don't know. There were a handful of coaches that didn't make the picture. He was one. I think Peyton was one. Sean Payton didn't make the picture. So you're missing a couple of Super Bowl winners here. So that opened up some spots.
McVay should be in the front row.
McVay, they had kind of, it was LaFleur, Shanahan, McVay, like everybody from that coaching tree was all in one little area with some guy sitting, a couple guys standing right behind him.
Like Doug Peterson's properly placed toward the end, but front row. He's got a Super Bowl. Harbaugh just weasels his way in there, Gabe. Huh?
He does strike me as the most gung-ho to take a picture.
Yes.
Like, when picture time comes around, he's front and center, and he's trying to wrangle everyone because he really wants to be a part of it. He likes he doesn't like following rules. We know that about him.
LaFleur's probably properly placed.
Is he, though? Because he's around by McVay.
A couple NFC championship games, though.
Okay.
Hasn't won them.
Okay.
Well, if we were to build a ESPN Milwaukee seating arrangement for a picture, where are you going? Are you going same place, or are you trying to go somewhere else? Where does everyone fit in a picture like that?
Well, it's tough because Tausch has got to be front row.
Yeah,
Tausch is kind of the mayor with Jason, but Tausch is a tall guy.
So Tausch standing behind Jason.
Row, you're going to need a box for Scals. You're going to need a box for. I mean, what's Scals? 5'3"? No, really, really.
He's like 5'8".
Yeah,
5'9"?
I think he's 5'8".
He ain't 5'8". So now what? We have a brochure for ESPN, and you lie at that height too?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
Brust will probably be like 6'3", 6'4".
What is Benny?
Benny's 6'1". I think you guys measured him on Scals and Brust. He's 6'1".
Okay. So yeah. I don't know.
You would stand in the back right corner because you would want to get out as quickly as possible.
Yes, because the first, are we good with the answer in the affirmative? I'm gone. I'm not coming back.
I don't think you're answering. Yeah, you're not waiting for the answer.
There's no, hold on. We got another. No.
Chewy, I have been on calls with you before where you say, are we good? And you hang up before you say good. Are we click?
When you get the answer you're looking for, hang up. Right?
Even don't even wait sometimes for the answer that you may be looking for. I'm glad you brought up Super Bowls, though, Chew, because there is a member, a prominent member of the Green Bay Packers who had some Super Bowl talk over the weekend. We're going to hear some of that sound and talk about it coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, could you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
call
could,
it an
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Next, I want to hit here on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776. First, we did get one right as the show started from Dennis saying that he had a late injury because we did one-hit wonders on Friday. Late hit injury that he wanted to get to. Packers one-hit wonder, Kittrick Taylor. Kittrick Taylor
that he wanted
to add to our one-hit wonder list that we did this past Friday.
Cincinnati Bengal game.
Mm-hmm. And then Chef Ed with a tremendous tweet. And I'm going to have to add this to the list, Chew, even though you didn't say it, but I think you're going to agree with it.
Okay.
So we were just talking about Chewy had an issue with where Jim Harbaugh was sitting for the annual NFL head coaching picture. So Chef Ed texts in saying head coaching arrogance.
Yeah, that's a good one. I agree. Yes. Know your spot.
Head coaching arrogance. I think we would all agree there's not a lot of arrogance in Jordan Love's game. Yet, he's feeling pretty good after the year that he had and the year his team had. Jordan appeared on the Pivot podcast, which is hosted by Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder, and had this to say about the green and gold and the big game next year.
Organization believes that, you know, it's the perfect time to have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. And those conversations we had after that 49ers game were, man, like, work harder. Try and find ways to get better because next year we're going to do it. Ain't, there's no more we're a young team. There's no more of those what ifs. Like, people know what we're about now. And obviously, you know, we'll have that target on our back. People are going to want to beat us. So,
Chew, when you hear that, what do you think?
I agree that they have a chance. I love the work harder, because we went through that. Now, did we think we could win it in 95 when we beat San Fran and then went to Dallas and hung with them? I don't think they're in the same position, Gabe.
Okay.
Because I remember that plane ride home after we lost the NFC Championship game in Dallas in the fourth quarter, riding back on that plane and saying, all right, next year's our year, which it was because we are clearly the number one power-ranked team going into that season. Probably gave it up in the middle of the season when we lost two or three in a row and then regained it. But this team is still young. He's wrong. It's still young, and they're still going to make mistakes. 1 year under your belt is not enough. The difference was our team back then, I mean, we had Reggie, we had Sean Jones, we had, you know, obviously Brett, we had Leroy, we Eugene Rob. We had a solid veteran presence. This team's still going to have hiccups. You know, they got to figure out the defense. How long is that transition going to take? I agree with them. Like I said, from the standpoint, yes, they will have a chance, but if I'm a betting man, I'm not putting it on them this year. I'm putting it on them the following year.
So a couple of things. The first one, I like the way he kind of says, I think we can win a Super Bowl, because it's like he doesn't just come out and flat out say it. He talks about the hard work and all these different things. But I guess I want to push back. If at what point aren't they young? At what point, as a fan, Chew, can I say, you know, let's say they make a mistake offensively, you know, in week three this year and they end up having to punt, it's a third down, whatever. This past year, whenever, you know, it was clearly a mistake, clearly a miscommunication, I felt like as a fan, I was more understanding. Like, oh, they're young, they're still figuring it out. But now after having the success that they had, are you telling me I still need to be patient with that and those mistakes are going to happen and be like, ah, they're young, they're still figuring it out? Or do I need to hold them to, as a fan, a higher level of expectation?
I'd still give them a little bit of a pass on both sides of the ball. Even though they are older on defense, it's still a new system. You know, that's like learning a new language.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'm talking more about offense, I guess, more than defense. Because when I think of the success of this team, it's going to be more of what they can do offensively, right? And especially because we're listening to this Jordan Love sound. So I'm thinking about him being on the same page as the four wide receivers, the two tight ends. I guess there may be a miscommunication or two early in the season that I would be willing to, you know, kind of dismiss with like him and Josh Jacobs because Josh is so new to this. But with Jacobs being, I guess, the most veteran now of all the weapons that they have offensively, I would expect them to be able to figure whatever those issues out are within the first three games of the season. Is that fair?
Yeah, but you constantly have to be changing things because we talked about it at the beginning of last year, how coordinators didn't know how they were going to play. They didn't have a lot of film on Jordan Love. They didn't have any film on these young kids. So, but now they know. And this is the time where their opponents, you know, I told you how the coaches attack the offseason is you study. The first thing you do is study the people within your division because that's one thing you can control, right? And you figure, all right, we got to win most of these games. So they study them, and then they move on to San Francisco, to Dallas, to Philly, the best teams in the NFC. So they're going to be scrutinized. They're going to be studied. I mean, Detroit is going to study them a ton. That's why you can't run it back exactly what you did last year. You got to put wrinkles in everywhere. So it's not going to be, you know, there's tweaks, and these guys are still young. They're going to be better, but they're still going to make mistakes. Hell, I made mistakes in my
mistakes are certainly going to happen, but it's more my guess. How much did you get yelled at when you made that mistake in your eighth year versus when you made it, you know, when Jackie Harris told you to run the wrong route in practice?
Yeah, I mean, you get a little bit of a pass. It's easier to yell at young guys than veterans, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we all remember Y corner and Y deep cross, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, it's in...
Kind of ran the wrong one.
Yeah, but you invented a new play that NFL teams use today.
Maybe
so your legacy, even though other teams don't know, or other people don't know, outside of us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we know that you created that play. And I am confident in Jordan Love, and I also loved, we're going to play some of this sound coming up next, about him talking about the 49ers game. Do want to get to this text, though, on the talk at text line, 800-990-3776, because there's two things. One, during the break on the private talk and text line, I got a text from a different Josh saying, Disney is a trip, not a vacation. There is a difference. Which I think is a great distinction to make. Like, if you're taking your family to Disney, that is not a family vacation. That is a family trip. And the words are important in that situation. Kevin also hits us up on the talk and text line saying his parents are currently in Disney right now with his daughter. I will ask them how it's going and report back. I miss them, but I'm glad I'm not dealing with that mess. He also gives us the GKB talent picture front row of Kyle, Ben, Jen, Greg, Jason, back row, Chris Larson, Ashy Joshy, Chewy Gabe, Tausch, Jesse Nelson. I don't know if, I'm not quite sure what any of that means.
I don't know how that's quite organized.
Where was Joshy, front row or back row?
Joshy's back row next to Ashy.
Joshy,
me and Tausch are hanging out in the back row with all the producers, basically, is that what he's got that.
Yeah, but how tall should you have to be into the back? Josh, what are you, 5'10"?
Yeah.
I don't think 5'10 is tall enough to be in the back.
But he's in the top half probably of height. Yeah. Well, maybe not. I mean, I guess I was underselling Nortman. Nortman's over 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
he's
Kyle?
Sitting down?
Are you as tall as Kyle?
I think we're around the same height.
Okay.
I'm probably league average in terms of height.
Yeah.
Around here.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the talent, yes.
And in the world. Perfectly.
Is that average,
5'10"? I would say the American males are probably shorter.
It can't be 5'10".
I feel like the average male height, I think, is 5'8". Because, again, I go back to when Joshy was the producer of Scalzo and Brust when that was still on in the afternoons. And Scals would say, hey, I'm average height, and I believe he's 5'8". So I think, I believe I've heard Greg Scalzo spout that
wrong.
Before. That
I
average
gotta,
height is 5'8".
It's got to be more 6 feet. It has to be more 6 feet. You see more 6'3 people walking around than 5'5". Am I right?
I don't know if that's accurate.
Yes. How many guys do you see walking around that are 5'5"? The 5'5"s, Josh, are equivalent to the 6'6", 6'7"s.
So right here, this is from Very Well Health. There's also a few other sources. Americans, males, are typically taller at 5'9".
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back.
Desktop.
Yep. American males are typically taller, and worldwide, it's 5'7" is the average height.
Wow. They're bringing us down.
Yeah. American male, though, is only 5'9", Chew. Is that a little surprising to you?
5'9"? I thought it'd be a little bit taller.
You also, it's probably changed. We had the whole Great Depression thing, the era following it, where people weren't as tall. So now, if you were probably to take everyone 30 and under, I would bet that's average. That average is higher, just because nutrition's improved, things of that nature.
Okay. Because I don't even know. I mean, outside of Scals, people that are 5'5", male.
I really hope Scals isn't listening, man. He's going to barrel into here trying to defend him because you keep calling him 5'5". Like, that's...
It feels like everyone under 6 foot is 5'5", too Chewy.
100%. Like, yeah. If I were to ask Chewy, how tall am I? Like, I could be anywhere from...
You're 6'1". You're okay. A solid 6'1".
All right.
So you said the average... Hold on. But you said the average is 5'9"?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how many inches am I above 5'9"?
What are you, 6'5"?
Yeah, say 6'5".
So you're 8 inches above that.
So, do you know any guys that are 5'1", outside of Scals?
Well, we're kind of confusing.
No, I'm being serious. Do you know anyone 5'1", a male?
I do not.
That's why the average is so wrong.
I definitely know a lot of guys under 5'5"-ish. I could think of a handful, many of them older. And then, like, you meet a lot of people. There are some pretty short guys out there.
Yeah, but 5'1"? I mean, because me and the 5'1 would be a wash. You'd be like, all right, there's the average.
Sure, but I think there's going to be more guys that are like 5'7",
yes,
that are going to collectively bring down your number.
Yeah, that's the average thing. We're kind of... I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
I'm
it's not a one-for-one swap. It's not a one-for-one swap where you got to make the salaries match. No, they're going to get multiple people, and eventually those salaries will match up to bring your height down to what everybody else's is.
I'm trying to use it in the same terms as the cap. That's all I'm trying to
do. I picked up on that, and I realized the flaw in your ways.
So I got a lot of dead cap in me.
You got a lot of dead cap that we got to figure out how to deal with, certainly.
Yeah.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep three from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I'm
good
getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word
is. Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I don't know about YouTube, but every time I hear Jordan Love talk, and we start to get to know Jordan a little bit more and more. And that's where some of these podcasts come in, where much like what Jason did with Aaron on Tuesdays with Aaron, I feel like those types of interviews versus the podium or the locker room interviews after the game, what have you, like these interviews give us a better look of who these guys are, right? And it's not always going to paint the perfect picture, but... You know, sometimes you kind of get a feel for a guy. And I feel like Jordan Love's appearance on the Pivot podcast, again, hosted by Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder, are these types of interviews give us a better insight to who Jordan Love is. And Jordan Love on the Pivot podcast, we just heard it, says he thinks the Packers can win a Super Bowl next year, but he knows it's going to take a lot more work. They're going to have a target on their back, all those things. And maybe he's just saying the right things, too, but if he is, I'm falling for it hook, line, and sinker, because here's what he had to say about how he thinks about the Niners game that the Packers lost in the NFC playoffs.
How much have you thought about those interceptions? How much have you thought about those last 30 minutes of the season to motivate you going forward?
A lot. You know, those are the plays you go back and watch, and like you said, you just think, what could I have done differently? To make this a better play, to not have this interception. So I've watched that clip a good amount of times. Obviously, it makes you sick going back and watching those plays like that. But, yeah, like you said, it's that just knowing when to make those plays and when to, you know, cross that fine line of doing too much and doing enough to make a play. So just understanding, you know, that a lesson I learned in college, you don't have to be Superman out there. Like, you don't have to try and make every play. And that's one thing I did a little bit too much in college, was trying to make those Superman throws and extend every play. And, you know, in your head, you're like, okay, yeah, this is a completion. I'm going to get it right there to that guy and then throw it. And, nah, these guys are they're fast in the NFL. They're going to recover on that ball and pick it. So just that fine line of understanding when to, you know, try and make those heroic plays and put the team on your back and when to throw it away to you know, live to fight another down, things like that.
Go ahead.
I don't think he's ever going to let us in as far as Brett and Aaron did.
Well, Aaron let us in maybe a little too much here towards the end. Because Aaron famously did not let people in the way that Brett did, right? Because with Brett, you felt like you knew the whole family. With Brett, like you, because you felt like you knew Irv, you suffered when Irv passed. Because you felt like you knew Deanna when she was going through her breast cancer diagnosis, like you felt for him and the family. Like, Brett let everybody in. He was an open book. Aaron famously was not that, and then started to open up more and more, and now we have what he has become. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to open up to that extent, but I don't know. To me, I really love that answer of the way he's kind of reflected and is still continuing to reflect on a poor fourth quarter that ultimately cost the Packers a chance to go to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. But he's still considered young in quarterback terms. I mean, that was a mistake, and he's learning from it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why I put him at 2 years away. Because that's just I mean, I get the veteran, the lack of a veteran presence, but at times it's so important to remind, to keep these guys in line. You know, one of my biggest fears, and I don't think it'll happen here, is, like I've said, there's only one football, right?
Yeah.
With a lot of weapons, and we think those weapons are going to get better and better. I just, you know, who would the veteran be to say to receiver number four, like, hey, you'll get your turn. Just this is how a team works.
Well, because
I know you want your catches, and you got 2 years before you're eligible to become a free agent. Just be patient and go from there.
And the way that last season played out, Chu, maybe you didn't have to have as many of those conversations because of the injuries that happened, right? I mean, Musgrave gets hurt, so Kraft is able to step up.
Sure.
You have Watson in and out of the lineup, so you know somebody like Dontavian Wicks can step up more because of the different injuries. So it was very rare that all six, even seven, if you want to sprinkle Bo Melton into there, were all available for, you know, for the Packers to play for an extended period of time.
Yeah, but the bottom line, Gabe, everyone wants to get paid.
Oh yeah,
everyone wants. I mean, look at Cincinnati right now with their two. Who is it just requested a trade? T. Higgins?
Yeah, because he's on the franchise tag, yeah.
And there's only one other guy there, really.
Yeah, for the
Jamar
most part.
Jamar Chase, right? Now, in this team, you got a lot of receivers. Like you said, you got five guys. You got two tight ends. You got one back. So guys just have to be patient, okay? Bo Melton, you're not going to catch 90 balls next year, okay? You're not. But you could catch 45. And be a hell of a receiver doing it.
G, Joshy, do we want to keep the polls clear with today being the first day of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy bracket, grievance bracket released? Or do we want to put up something with, because I'm curious, because Chewy says, you know, Chewy talking about, no, this is still a young team. Those mistakes are still going to happen. Like, can the Packers in 2024 still use youth as an excuse for mistakes?
Yes, I think we should pull that. What I'm going to do is basically thread all the polls for the grievances bracket.
Okay.
So they'll have their own sort of home there where it won't get too confusing.
All right. Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody, because again, there's some cool prizing that we've got associated with that. We finally have everybody assigned to, you know, again, congratulations to the first 32 who texted in. That filled up a lot quicker than I guess I thought it would. When we decided to do that last week, but we have our first matchups happening in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance, everyday grievance bracket. We're going to unveil those first two matchups coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Attention to all golfers in the greater Milwaukee area. Here is an exciting opportunity you don't want to miss out on. And look, I know we got the big snow last week. Look, the snow's melting and the golf season's going to be here before you know it. So you want to be a part of the Milwaukee Golf Tour, a premier season-long competitive golf experience. Milwaukee Golf Tour is not just another golf league. It's a game changer that offers unparalleled flexibility and excitement for golfers of all skill levels. And what's cool about this is you can kind of play these tournaments that they have on the Milwaukee Golf Tour on your time because you have a two-week window to complete each event. Plus, the tour schedule follows in the same footsteps of the PGA Tour, including a thrilling FedEx Cup-style point system, four majors, and an epic tour championship. With the Milwaukee Golf Tour, you can end up playing great places like Lac La Belle, Grand Geneva, Washington County, and more. Season concludes with a tour championship hosted by the Bull at Pinehurst Farms on September 22nd. There's handicap flights, event payouts, both low and gross net performances. So they've got everything covered. They've thought of everything at the Milwaukee Golf Tour. So if you're ready to elevate your golfing experience, sign up now, mkegolftour.com. Use the code ESPN to save $50 on your 2024 membership. mkegolftour.com, code ESPN to save $50. Registration ends April 8th, so don't miss out on your chance to be part of the fastest growing golf tour in Milwaukee. Join the Milwaukee Golf Tour community today. Last week, we unveiled the brackets. We now start playing the games in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance brackets. So, excited about this. Everyday grievances. We've got four different regions. We're going to unveil three matchups today, Chew. Three matchups to kick things off, and we are starting in the dining region. So, we have assigned a person to every one of these, and whoever ends up winning, whatever grievance ends up winning our brackets, that person is going to win our great prize, ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. But the big thing in there, we are going to have a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy hoodie. So, pretty cool. Walk around with the JGC hoodie.
So how does it work? The fans vote on the winners?
Yep, fans vote. Fans vote. It's all on Twitter, all on social media. Or X, I guess, if you don't want to call it Twitter. So Josh is going to put up, just like we put up our polls, he's going to put up the polls. People can vote on which one that they want. So we are starting with the dining region today. And the opening matchup, Chew, is waiting for a seat when there are empty tables, which is the number one seed.
That is Clint in Lancaster has that seed.
All right.
Okay.
And that is going up against the eight seed when the Crab Benedict is $65.
That is Corey, who I believe is his last name. I don't know if he wants it out there, so we'll stick with Corey.
Corey. All right. Just Corey. Corey is that number eight seed. And I'll tell you what, this opening matchup that we have, Chew, while waiting for a seat when there are empty tables, certainly is an inconvenience. I feel like the listeners of the show enjoyed your story of when your Crab Benedict, which was only a half Benny, by the way, you only had one English muffin, one poached egg, one thing of crab on the Benedict. When the crab Benedict is $65, look, that's awfully specific. It's only happened to one person that I know of, but it was such a great story that you told on the show. I think it's got a chance to pull the upset.
I don't think so, because I would vote for. Now, I will walk out, and I have walked out before, if I go to a restaurant, there's empty tables.
Okay. And they tell you it's a 20-minute wait?
Yeah. You guys, you're going to sit there and wait?
No.
If I see a line, I'm not waiting for a restaurant ever. That's just who I am. But if I see tables open and I'm told there's going to be a short wait, a brief wait, I probably wait it out because I'm standing there looking going, well, I can see a table, so I got to be up here soon, right?
So you don't assign different times to different restaurants. I clearly do. Like restaurant X, okay, if there's a line, the most I'm waiting is 10 minutes. Restaurant M, it's a 45-minute wait. I'm okay. I'll give you an example, Gabe.
Okay.
Perfect example. Joshy, I'm sure you've been there. Ishnala.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Ishnala. Up in the Dells. I've waited 2.5 hours for a table.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time I went, it was 3 hours, and I'm like, no, I'm not waiting three.
Yeah, but you also go into a place like Ishnala where you cannot make a reservation, and you know that you're going to wait, but... So I went up there, me and my wife did like a 24-hour getaway after we got married a year and a half ago, and we went up and we went to Ishnala because we were in the Dells, and it was a Monday night. We went at like 5 or 6, and it was still a 45-minute wait, but you can go down to the bar. Like they have they've got an area for you where you can wait. Yeah. So if you want to get an appetizer, if you want to get that old-fashioned, then you can walk down on the little sandbar area that they have that leads up to the river that they have. Like it's... They have things for you to do. You're not just like sitting in this awkward vestibule for the next 45 minutes.
No, but if there are caveats. Now, if the bar is packed, right, where mm-hmm. you really can't get a seat or a drink, that goes down to a half hour.
Yeah, sure. Say I'm walking out.
Goes down to a half hour.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting 2.5 hours and sitting in a chair. Forget about it.
The thing with me and waiting is there's so many good restaurants, especially in the Milwaukee area now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like... It's not like 15, 20 years ago where there was like 5 good restaurants and everything else was chains. Like, I can find a place that can sit me in a 5-minute drive and it's going to be damn good food.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's, to me, that's where it's come. With supper clubs and stuff like that, if I got a place at the bar and I got nowhere to be, hell, I'll wait as long as you need.
Yeah, keep those old fashions coming. Right. I'll take another one, pal.
Exactly.
Will you guys eat at the bar? Will you eat at the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got zero qualms about eating at the bar. The only time it's tough to eat at the bar is if you have, like, a group of more than 4.
Right.
Like, 4 is the most I think you can do at the bar.
Because then you're yelling across bodies.
Yeah.
Trying to...
yeah.
Like, if you've got a group of 8, yeah, sitting at the bar is a little tough. The other matchup we're unveiling right now, and then we'll do one later in the show, in the dining region of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy bracket, the 3 seed, waiting on the waiter. The waiter's taking too long to come and get your order.
Jesse in Madison has that.
And the 6th seed is the tip is included, but the waiters does not mention that the tip
I think
is
six,
included.
I think 6 could go all the way.
Wow. See, I like it in this matchup,
Cinderella
too.
Run?
Yeah, I like this matchup.
I think
this could
6
be NC
could
State.
Go all the way.
This could be NC State, 11 seed making the run. Like, look.
I'm sure Tony Kaye's happy to hear that, who has.
I feel that waiting on the waiter pre-pandemic was a much... bigger grievance. But a lot of these places struggle with staffing. Like a lot of places have had to change hours because they just can't fully staff it enough. So if you're looking around and the restaurant's full and there are only like 2 waiters or waitresses, like I'm going to be more understanding, right? Like, does this person just run around working their tail off? Versus, hey, man, like if you're including the tip, that's cool. I'm fine with that. And then if I want to sprinkle a little more on top, I can. But if you're not telling me that tip's included, and now all of a sudden I'm tipping like 40%, like that's outrageous.
But Gabe, and I'm sure Joshy is in my camp 100% on this, right? If there's only 2 waiters in a packed restaurant, what's the one thing the waiter should make sure is flowing?
Drinks.
Thank you. When I had to wait that 45 minutes and my appetizers came out before, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
The appetizer comes out 45 minutes after, and I got my nice little Chardonnay there, I'm fine.
We're good. Yeah, you got to make sure you get the drinks.
Josh, you agree?
Yeah, I'm pretty sympathetic to every service worker just because I know how it can be. But there's times you can tell when somebody is being, let's say, like forgetful or not, they're just not very good at their job versus somebody running around crazy and I got to wait an extra 5 minutes for my drink. I can live with that. But yeah, if you're just skipping past my table and I watch you walk by six times, then I'll be like, all right, I'm sick of this.
Yeah, the tip included, not mentioned, is...
That's a hard one.
It just feels
especially
like it's
when you get in the car, Gabe, especially when you get in the car with the receipt and you go, I just tipped him 48%. Right?
Yeah, because now that tip, like that 18% tip that they added on there, you're tipping on the entire bill, including that. Like, it's just, it feels like an underhanded way of being able to sufficiently pay their workers.
I don't know how often this has ever happened to me, though.
It has happened
to me. You know why it happens to me, Joshy?
Why is that?
Because Capital One sends out a text that says you tip 48%, and when I'm not with the wife and she gets that text,
oh no, oh boy, our boy's gonna get his Capital One privileges taken away soon.
Yes, and that has happened.
So you can vote for those right now, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Twitter. Number one seed, waiting for a seat when there are empty tables, taking on the eighth seed of when the Crab Benedict is $65, and waiting too long on the waiter is the three seed, taking on tip included, no mention. Vote for those now at Jen, Gabe, Chewy. We'll be back. I've got a wedding story that Joshy found that I'm fascinated by. Could not get enough of after I found it. That's coming up in 2 minutes.